about to tune in to your number one radio station.
This is 106.1 KALA FM. I'm your host of Midweek Musings, Evie Breitbach. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the last episode of Midweek Musings for Season 3. I'll be back in the fall, don't you worry. So now that we're all here, make sure you follow the Instagram, midweek.musings. And now that you're all following, I should also ask you a question, because I want to know the answer before I record anything for Season 4. Remember when I used to put music in the background of some of my episodes in Season 2? Yeah, when I started this season, I totally forgot about that. So, do we like that? Do we want it back? Let me know. If you know how to contact me, or if you're following the Instagram, you can just message me. So, like I was saying, this is the last episode of Season 3, and I will resume in the fall when I'm back in school. But let's be so for real. I'm trying to be cautious to not burn myself out. Since this is pretty much for fun, I don't want to force it. So I'm not going to do anything over the summer. But next fall, I am going to be taking a podcasting class with KALA's very own Dave Baker. So the episodes are going to be better than ever. This summer, instead of doing this, I'm going to be working at the YMCA. I'm going to be possibly being a paid proofreader for some people and just living life. That was really gross. I hate that. Okay, so long intro, let's get down to business. This topic was suggested to me a long time ago, and I kind of kept putting it off because I thought it was going to be boring, but it wasn't. So the question that we're answering today is, can the mind really go farther than the body? Is mind over matter a true phrase? Stick around, folks, and we'll have answers for you soon. For some context, most people use the phrase mind over matter when referring to exercise and physical activity, but it can also be used in spiritual and philosophical contexts as well. The mind, for our purposes, is defined as the element of an individual that feels, perceives, thinks, wills, and reasons. Mind over matter means a situation in which someone is able to control a physical condition, problem, etc. by using the mind. Now over to you, Evie.
It's time for a little bit of history.
The phrase mind over matter first appeared in 1863 in the Geological Evidence of the Antiquity of Man by Sir Charles Lyell. It was first used to refer to the evolutionary growth of the minds of animals and man. Here is the actual quote from this 1800s book. It may be said that so far from having a materialistic tendency, the supposed introduction to the earth at successive geological periods of life, sensation, instinct, the intelligence of the higher mammalia bordering on reason, and lastly, the improvable reason of man himself, presents us with a picture of the ever-increasing dominion of mind over matter. Even earlier, however, in 19 BC, the poet Virgil said, "The mind drives the mass," and that is a similar phrase, but not the same, to mind over matter. So, does this phrase really hold up under science? Is there any proof that the mind can go farther than the body? As humans, we are always faced with competing stimuli. So how do we focus on just one thing? How do we know what to focus on? In a study done at UCLA on patients with epilepsy, scientists learned that we can consciously control individual neurons in our brain. Neurons are nerve cells that send messages all over your body to allow you to do everything from breathing to talking, eating, walking, and thinking. Ways you can see this taking place are through optical illusions. For example, the bezeled effect. There's a gradient background with white to gray, like going left to right, and then there's a rectangle placed in the middle of it with an inverse gradient. The black would be on the side with the white of the background. When you remove the background, the rectangle becomes just plain gray. The gradient was all in your head. It never was actually there. The rectangle was just gray. But your mind saw it as a gradient. This illusion and many more like it are ways to show that our mind informs our reality. It used to be vital to our survival to be able to distinguish between one object and another. Our brains rely on this. The faster and better we can do this and determine what is dangerous or what is a threat, we are more likely to survive. Now, another example of our mind informing our reality is placebos. A placebo is a treatment that has no actual medicinal value. Researchers will use this to make people think they're being cured. If you go into a treatment with the expectation that you will get better, Your expectations literally will cure you, even though you're just being given a fake pill. This brings up another concept called biofeedback, which is a type of mind-body technique you use to control some of your body's functions, such as your heart rate, breathing patterns, and muscle responses. During biofeedback, you're connected to electrical pads that help you get information about your body. If doctors want to lower your heart rate quickly and effectively, they can attach a few sensors to you that will show what your heart rate is, and as you see your heart rate, you will mentally slow your heart down. If you concentrate on it, you can lower your heart rate. And I'm actually pretty sure I've done this before, because when I went to go get my wisdom teeth taken out, they attached me to a heart monitor, and I don't know if that's common practice, but I was like really nervous about it because beforehand they said something about, oh, your wisdom teeth are way up by your sinuses, so you might, like, we might accidentally cut into your sinus. And I was like, awesome, thank you for telling me that right before I go under general anesthesia. Anyway, so I was really worried, and I could like see how fast my heart was beating, so I like consciously made an effort to slow it down because I was like, I don't want them to not do the surgery because I've gone through all this effort, I fasted and everything. So again, this just reiterates the fact that our body matches what our brain expects. Our mind informs our reality. So when people say it's all in your head, it might actually be. You have the power to overcome things with your mind. And especially in a world where there's so little in your control, it can be reassuring to know that you are actually in total control of yourself. So all that to say is yes, mind over matter is very true, and it's extremely important to practice it in your daily life because the mind truly can take you farther. So here are some ways to use mind over matter in your daily life. For one, a lot of people have a problem with procrastination. Honestly, can't really relate. But if you change your perception of reality, you can think about your entire view of reality differently. I do this with myself all the time. People ask me how I don't procrastinate. They're like, oh, you just don't procrastinate. No, I will myself to do my work. If I change my perception of reality, if I tell myself the paper is due several days before it's actually due, I will have it done by that day. It will be early because I will tell myself that if it's not done by this day, that it's late. When I get the paper done, I'm like, phew, just made it. But in reality, it's 2 days early. But then you know what? I don't have to worry about it for the next 2 days, and it's done. When you make this change, and you change your perception of time, really, you will notice how much less frazzled you are, how much less you procrastinate when it gets down to the actual due date. You have to actually use your mind. Crazy. And another example is catastrophization, which is the idea that when one small thing goes wrong, you start spiraling into the worst case scenario. This happens to a lot of people, and I know that it's probably a thing that people with anxiety experience, but you can use mind over matter in this situation because the worst case scenario almost never happens anyways, so why waste so much time worrying about it, right? If you reframe your reality to think about how much it's going to matter in 5 minutes, in 5 days, in 5 months, in 5 years, you will realize that it's probably not actually that something you should be spending so much time worrying about. So let's say I'm really worried about something embarrassing I did in front of people, which is something that I truly experience whenever I get embarrassed. I like think about it so much afterwards. If I think about who's going to remember it in 5 minutes, who's going to remember it in 5 days, in 5 months, in 5 years? I doubt even I will remember most of it in 5 years. So who's to say anyone else would? Probably not. Most people probably won't even remember it in 5 days or 5 minutes. You know, it's like, it's just a lot of these things that we feel like we're the center of everyone's universe and our little mistakes and things that stress us are everyone else's like number one problem is just not the case. You have to look at this from a different perspective of other people. And if everyone is so focused on themselves, they're definitely not focusing on you. Like they're not. Anyway, I'll get off of my soapbox about that. Another example of how we can use the idea of mind over matter in everyday life is obviously with physical exercise. People often say that in moments of pain or during physical activity, you can just mind over matter, you know? But like, what does that mean? So before I go too much further, obviously, if you ever feel sharp pain, that's probably an injury and you should stop exercising. So I'm just going to be clear. Pushing yourself into a place of discomfort is good of you and it will help you grow. But if you feel like your ankle is broken, you should not keep going. So anyway, if you can reframe your reality when you reach these moments of discomfort in exercise, you will be able to get through it instead of giving up. For example, I used to do this when I would run track in middle school. Apparently, I was not only fast, but a genius. I always got selected to run the mile for my team, which was the longest race we had at the time. And I would be so nervous beforehand. Like, so nervous that my stomach would hurt every single time. And even, like, after doing it for a couple of years, I thought I would be less nervous. And I was still just as nervous every time. I don't know why. Maybe just the fact that there were so many people there. But either way, I would tell myself when I would get so nervous that it would only be a few minutes of my life, like 8 minutes tops, because apparently I was really fast. It would be like 8 minutes at the most. And I'm like, that's barely anything in the grand scheme of things. And for the even shorter races, like a couple times when I had to run 200 meter hurdles, I was like so nervous that I literally thought I was going to die because it was so nerve wracking. And I was like, at most, it's going to be like a minute. Like 1 minute of my life. I'm not even like, that's nothing. That is nothing in the grand scheme of things. So that's how I think about it when I'm doing other physical activity. Like when I'm lifting and I'm contemplating dropping a set of squats because, you know, it's getting hard. And then I'm like, you know, it's going to take me like one additional minute. So what? Why not just do it? Why not just do it instead of giving up? So now I have just a few general tips on how to use your mind to reframe your reality. For starters, live in the moment. Acknowledge the moment for what it is, whether positive or negative, but don't be thinking about what it's going to mean for you in the future. You can also have faith in yourself and in the capabilities of your mind and body. If you spend less time living in self-doubt, you will probably be more successful because your mind will think that you're better. I mean, I always think about people who are like severely underqualified for the jobs that they're in. I feel like they have really high self-image, and honestly, that is something to be admired. They believed in themselves and they got where they wanted to be, whether or not they should have. Do a reality check. Align your plans and expectations with real-world circumstances. This is kind of like what I was talking about earlier with like, not everybody is thinking about you at all times. That's crazy, I know. But it's true. You can reset your experiences. View every experience through a new lens. If you try not to use any prior judgment, it can be really helpful. Like, experience the world like a kid. Try not to be prejudging any of your experiences based on past experiences because things can always change, and so on. And then lastly, take life slow. Allow situations to unfold in their own time. Honestly, this is very eye-opening for me, even now reading it aloud. Like, obviously, I read all this before talking about it because I had to write it. But it's nice to have a reminder that we can actually go so much farther than we think that we can. But yeah, that's actually all that I have for you today. This episode is going to be a little bit of a shorter one, and I feel like that's all right, because that's all we really needed to talk about. And if I just ramble, no one's going to want to hear that. I don't want to hear myself say that, so I'm just going to cut it off while we're ahead. Just remember, if there's one thing to take away from this episode, it's use your mind to reframe your reality. It's such a good quote. I should make a sticker that says that. With that being said, that's all for season 3. I don't know, it feels kind of like a goodbye. I'm going to miss this. I say as if there's like no choice but to not record over the summer. God, you know, maybe if I get crazy, I'll record some episodes. We'll see. Either way, I will be back in August. And thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you next time on Midweek Musings.
Midweek Musings airs at 6:30 every Wednesday night on 106.1 FM in the Quad Cities area, but you can also find it on Spotify, SoundCloud, or wherever you get your podcasts.